Okay, we got up to the top of Chesed and Aleph, right where the lines get wide. Right, the Gemara was discussing Machlokes Rabba and Reb Chisda if you say Hayol or not. So we asked from a case that says someone who cooks Gid Anoshe Becholov on Yom Tov, he can get 5 sets and eats it, he can get 5 sets of Malkus Torah between the eating and the cooking. And then we got more specific. We said that there's 2 for the eating and there's 3 for the cooking. So what was the 3 from the cooking? So 1 is for cooking basar chalav, 1's for cooking anyam tushal tzarech because it's food that's aser. So the question is what was the 3rd one? So originally we wanted to say that it's havara, but the problem is if you say hayol, so then the havara, you could say that since the havara could be used to cook a different pot, so hayol, you can cook a different pot with it, you shouldn't be over. So then the Gemara wanted to say that it's not havara, but rather it's that you're using wood that's mukta, and it's going like that sheet that mukta is midaraisa, so like it says shishi. So now the Gemara asked that Rabbi himself, who's the mandamer who says hayo, he can't say that terms because he himself was asked the shayla, what's the halacha if you have an animal that's muksa, could you use it for the carbon talmid or not? And he brought a drasha from Sa'achas Minamasayim Mimashki Yisrael, that even though it says Mimashki Yisrael, that in order for an animal to be mutter on the Mizbeach, it has to be mutter for a yid to eat, but that's only an iser that gufa garmloi, like tevel or something like that. But mukza, he says, which is an iser davar garmloi, which is not an iser in the guf of the animal, then it's kosher for a carbon. So this mukza is kosher for a carbon. And the Mar explained that the real chilek is not gufoy versus dabracha, but the reason why muksa is different is because muksa is talking out the rice, and not like we were saying. But bottom line is, Rabbi himself said that a carbon that's muksa is right for a carbon, meaning it's not the rice. Meaning muksa obviously is not the rice. If that's the case, then we're back to the kasha. So why over here does he get malchus a 3rd set? It can't be because of havara, because of hayol, and it can't be because of muksa, because Mux is not midiraisa. The oid, we're up to the 2nd white line, the Gemara says further, even if you want to say it's a mux, so it doesn't make sense. Because ha'at hu da'amrin, because you, again, rabbis say, chiluk malach is the Shabbos and chiluk malach is the yomtiv. By Shabbos, we have drasha to say that there's a chiluk between the different malachas. That means if a person did 2 or 3 different malachas at the same time, he would have 2 or 3 different chiyuvim. Obviously, the mezid, we're only going to kill him once, but the nachkemi would be b'shaykik, he would bring multiple karbonis. However, legabe yontiv, says Rabba, there's no such thing as chiluk malachas. Meaning, if a person on yontiv was b'mezid, did, let's say he planted, and he reaped, and he did, and he baked at the same time, so he would only get 1 set of malchus, and he wouldn't get 3 separate sets of malchus. So even if you want to say that mukta is nichlal and lisasak malach on yantiv, it can't be a separate malchus. Once he's already getting malchus for cooking on yantiv, he can't get separate malchus for atzim mukta because ain chiluk malachus liyantiv. Now this kasha is technically also a kasha on the original havamina. The original havamina was that it was because of havara. We have the same problem. The Havar is also, that means you're getting 2 malchus for Yom Tov, for Havar and for Bishol, ein chiluk malachus for Yom Tov. Elo, says the Gemara, apik Havar, so you have to take out Havara, it's not 1 of the 5, and instead, Va'ayel put in Atzi Ashera, that it was cooking with wood that was Avodah Zarah wood, from an Avodah Zarah tree, and therefore he's being over the Isra of Ashera. Vazhara, where's the Azhara for using wood of an Asherah? Mehacha, from this pasuk it says, V'lo yidbak b'yodcha me'ubma min acherim. No part of this cherim should be attached to your hands. You shouldn't use any part, have any connection. You shouldn't use in any which way Avodah Zarah. So from the fact that he's using the Atzei Asher, he's being covered with his lav, and that's the fifth lav. He's using it to cook. He's having enough from it.
The food.
Right. He's using it to cook the food, so he has cooked food now. So on that fact, the Gemara Amalei Rav Acha Brei the Rava Abayi. Rav Acha Brei the Rava asked Abayi if we're talking about Atzei Asher Venoki Nami Mishuv Lo Yisavu Seiva B'Sacha. So then Atzei Asher should only give you one set of Malkus. It should give you two sets of Malkus. One for Vlayi Bechliyacha Me'uma Min Acherim, and another one for Vlayi Savi Seyeva Abisachi. Anything that's a Teyeva, anything that's Havay Zara, should not be brought into your house. So it can't be that that last Malkus that we're talking about over here is Atzei Asher, because if that's the case, you shouldn't have only one set of Malkus, you should rather have two sets of Malkus. Ella says the Gemara, and this is going to be the final teretz, Apik Havara. Take out Avara, v'ayo Atzei Hekdesh, and say that we were talking about that you destroyed Atzei Hekdesh. You used the firewood that you used was Atzei Hekdesh. V'azhar me'och, and what's the azhara of destroying Atzei Hekdesh? It says, v'ashereim tishifum be'ezh, because the Torah starts off by saying how you should get rid of Avodah Zarah. It says you should break down their idols and so on. Then it says that their asheris tishifum be'ezh, their trees of Avodah Zarah, you should burn. I mean, you should not do the same to Hashem, which is a lot of teaching us that you're not allowed to destroy anything that belongs to Hashem, anything that's Kaidish, and what in the Shem Hashem cannot be destroyed. So over here that he takes the ward of Hekdesh and he burns it, so he's being over this Isser of Loisasim Kalim Hashem Lekechem, and that would be the fifth set of Malkus that we're talking about over here. So that's a good question. I have the same shayla. The chayra there should be also meila at the same time. Right. So meaning we should have the same kasha as we asked before. There should be six malchus. But I don't know for some reason. So Amar Rami Bar Chama. It says Rabbi Marcham, Hadar Rav Chisda v'Rabba, that which Rav Chisda and Rabba argue if you stay hoyel or not, is Machlokes Rabbi Yehazar v'Rishua, he is the Machlokes Rabbi Yehazar v'Rishua in the Mishnah. Going back to our Mishnah, we had a person had a dough. The dough was Tameh, so the challah that's going to be separated from the dough is going to be Tameh. It's not going to be Roy Lachilo. So the shayla was how you mafresh it on. And Yontif. So Rabbi Yehazar says, so don't be mafreshit till after the baking, and therefore b'shas the baking you have oil, and you could bake you could bake them all, and only afterwards be kareshem. Rabbi Shua says no, don't do that. Rather, just let it be kareshem first and let it sit there, because once you're kareshem, it's not yours, and we'll say shalacha iyataroy avotaroy shalachem shalgavoya. So, what's the machlokes? So the machlokes, the machlokes of Yehazar Yeshua is goof of the machlokes of Rabbi and Rav Chisda if you say hoyel or not. The Rabbi Yehazar saw Rami and hoyel. Rabbi Yehazar, who says you may bake it, is because he holds of hoyel. Since you didn't separate it at that point in time, each and every one of them is roi potentially to be eaten. So each and every one of them you're allowed to bake, because hoyel that I'm this one might be not challah. It's allowed to be baked. Rabbi Shua, who didn't hold that eight, so that's because he holds Le'amin and Hayel. Because he holds that you don't say Hayel. Since you don't say Hayel, we know that one of them for sure is not going to be eaten, one of them is going to be Challah, is not being baked L'Achila. So therefore, you have no heter to bake them, because one of them is a problem of baking. So the only eight is to separate the Challah and let it sit there and become Chavetz. So Amar Papa says, "Rav Papa, no raya. They're not talis ebezev. Dilma, because maybe Adkan lekam Rav Elazar Hasam. Even Rav Elazar, who says you're allowed to bake them all, he only said it over there by baking the dough that needs to have challah taken off of it. De amrin and hayol that over there you say, because over there, each and every one of them is roi for him, is roi, and not only is it roi because of hayol, but it's roi for him. Meaning over here, if you're going to say hayol, it could be that he himself is going to eat it. So over there, and echanami, you could say hayol. Aval hacha, Masha Enkin, a guy who bakes on Yontiv, after he's done eating, we know for sure he has no more room, he's not eating anymore today. And the only thing that's saving him is that Hoyol, the Kolo Yaruchlim, maybe guests, will show up unexpectedly and he'll use the food for that. So it's not for him, it's just maybe he'll give it to someone else. Aval Hachal, the Archimhu, the Chazi, it's only Roy for the guests. L'didei Loi Chazi, and for him himself, it's not Roy. So that hayol is a weaker hayol, so maybe even Rabbi Yezer agrees that you don't say hayol. So Rabbi Chista, who says you don't say hayol by yantiv, by a person who bakes yantiv afternoon, he could say I agree to Rabbi Yezer, because Rabbi Yezer, who says hayol, only said hayol over there where the hayol is going to make it roi for you. Masha Enkin, over here where we're just saying it's roi for somebody, maybe guests are going to show up, that hayol, even Rabbi Yezer won't say, like me, Rabbi Chista.
According to the Shita, there's no hoyl. The Ikloy Orchim, like the Orchim, don't count.
Right, right. So that's what we're saying. You don't say hoyl the Ikloy Orchim. But that's only because it's not for you. But something that is for you, which is a stronger hoyl, you would still say. That's what Rebekah is saying. So that's why it's not muchach that Rebekah has to hold like Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Chista could tell you he could even hold like Rebbe Eliezer. And the opposite, Amr Rebbe Shisha B'Reid Rebbe Idi, V'Domalei, again, who said the two machlokes in our Tali Zebezeh, meaning who says that Rabbi has to hold like Rebbe Eliezer and he can't hold like Rebbe Yeshua? Maybe, Adkan, like Rebbe Yeshua, even Rebbe Yeshua, who said over there it's Usser, presumably that you don't say Hayol, so the Pashto says he doesn't hold like Rabbah who says Hayol. No, maybe I'll tell you that there is worse by Chala. Because Akam Akam Rabbi Shua Hasam, the Loya Amin Hayol, over there Rabbi Shua says not to say Hayol, why not? Elod Ikechot, the Loya Chazi, Loya David Loya Larkin, because one of them, let's say you're baking 24 breads, one of them is going to become Chala, so the one that's going to become Chala is not going to be right for anybody. So yes, Hayol could say that each and every one of them potentially is the one that's roi, but you know that collectively, between all 24, one of them for sure is not going to be roi for anybody. Abu Hachal, but over here, where the hayol is better, the chazi means la'archim, because every part that you cooked is roi for somebody, it's not roi for you, because you're done eating, but it's roi for guests, so it's possible that every last bit of it is l'tzarech yamtiv, so that's a better hayol, because it matters everything. So then, Ema Hachinami, so maybe even Rabbi Shua in the Mishnah who didn't say Hayol, maybe over here he agrees that you will say Hayol. Amina Hayol, that you do say Hayol. So bottom line, it comes out that Rav Chista could tell you, I hold like either Shita in the Mishnah, and Rabbi could tell you, I hold like either Shita in the Mishnah.
Rabbi Yehoshua did not agree to Hayol, right?
So again, we're saying Rabbi Shua only didn't agree to Hayol, where it's going to come out that one of them is not Roy at all. So the fact that it's potentially Roy, but you know that it practically it's not going to be Roy, then Hayol is not strong enough. But where even practically it could be Roy, maybe guests will come and every last bit of it will be eaten, so then maybe he does agree to Hayol. Meaning, we're suggesting now that it's not across the board that you always, like we thought until now, that you always either do say Hayol or don't say Hayol. It's possible that both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yezer hold that sometimes you say Hayol and sometimes you don't say Hayol. Right? And that was the two services saying. Maybe Rabbi Yezer only doesn't say Hayol for someone else, but he does say Hayol for yourself. Or the opposite, maybe only Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say hayol over there because one you know for sure is not roi. Masha Enkin over here where every last one of them is roi, maybe you do say hayol. Who says hayol is a black or white? Who says it's across the board? Amruah Abonin Kamei Birmiya Verb Zera. They said this over in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah and in front of Verb Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah Kibla Reb Zeira like Kibbe. Reb Yirmiyah was Makabel. However, Reb Zeira was not Makabel. So, Amalei Reb Yirmiyah Reb Zeira. Reb Yirmiyah said to Reb Zeira, Milsa de Kashilon, the Ase Kamishoni. We had a kasha for many years. But my plea Rabbi Yezer Rabbi Yeshua. What's the machlokes? What's pshat in the machlokes between Rabbi Yezer and Yeshua? Now we're saying a good pshat in the name of our Gabba Rabba, that the machlokes is something to do with Hoyle. V'loy nikabla, and now you don't want to make a kabla. I mean, we've been waiting for so long to get a pshat, now we finally have a pshat, and you don't want to accept this pshat? So he told him back, Amalei, hechi akabla, how could I be makabla such a pshat? The Tanina, because we learn in the Mishnah, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Yezer, the Dvarecha, Harei hu oiver, mishun leisasa kamalacha. According to you that you want to bake it, you're over on Leis Hazak HaMalacha. Vishasakli and Rabbi Yezer kept quiet. We don't see in the mission that he had any response to Rabbi Yeshua. But if the pshat is like we're saying until now, that the Machlokes has to do with Hayil, Leim Alei Tavad Didi Mishim Hayil. So why didn't he simply answer him, no, there's no Leis Hazak HaMalacha because there's a Hayil. Since each and every one of these breads is potentially the one that's Roy for me, I could decide that this is the one I'm going to eat and not the chal. So each and every one of them has a hetter to be baked. So there is no list hasakom malacha. So from the fact that he didn't answer it, must be the machlokes has nothing to do with hoyo. So Amalei, so he said back to him, Ulotameich, according to you, you want to be medayed from the fact that he didn't respond in the Mishnah. Hodetanina bebraisa. I, the braisa, says, Amar Rabbi Yezer said back to Rabbi Yeshua, the Dvarecha, according to you, Harei Oiver Mishim Bayro Bayimatze, if you're going to let it sit and become chametz, then he's going to be Oiver Bayro Bayimatze. Vishasak later, Rabbi Yeshua kept quiet. Hochen Amid Lo Yahadalei, are you going to tell me that Rabbi Yeshua didn't answer anything back, he just kept, he was stumped, so to say? Hakam Ahadalei Maslisin, in the Mishnah, in the Beferish in the Mishnah, he added terrors to that. Ditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Leizel Chametz Mizaron Alav. Don't worry about this chametz because this is not the chametz that you'll be over by Yerah by Yematze, Mishum by Yerah by Yematze. Because Shachoyata Roya, but you're Avalata Roya Shalachem Shal Gavaya. And this, since this doesn't belong to you anymore, belongs to the Shevakuna. There's no problem of Shachoy of by Yerah by Yematze. So Ella, what are you forced to say? Shasak Leber Brisa, that even though in the Brisa it doesn't record his response, it sounds like he was quiet to Rabbi Eliezer when Rabbi Eliezer asked the Kasha. Nonetheless, Mahat Leber Masnissen. In the Mishnah says that the Taka was an answer. And for whatever reason, the Brisa just didn't feel like saying that answer. But we know that Rabbi Yeshua did have an answer to Rabbi Eliezer's Kasha. So Hakanami, the opposite as well, I could tell you that which Rabbi Shua asked Rabbi Eliezer, according to you, you're over Leisasa Kamalacha, and in the Mishnah it doesn't seem that he answered anything. Maybe he kept quiet over there. The Mishnah doesn't record his answer. However, maybe there's a different place at a different time that his answer was recorded, and the answer is Gufa, because we say Hayo. I mean, you can't bring me a raya from the fact that it doesn't say an answer that he didn't have an answer, because we see the same thing in the Brisa. The Brisa doesn't say an answer by Rabbi Yeshua, and that we know clearly that he did have an answer, because the Mishnah says B'feirish that he had an answer. So therefore, we could, this pshat of saying that the Machlokes of Rabbi Yeshua is with Hayil is a good pshat. Meaning he was shasik over here, but could you say the same thing? Maybe. I mean, the shasik by itself is not 100% a riot. Just because he was shasik in one place, is not a riot that he was shasik in a different place. So if we have a pshat, so then we could say that which he was shasik is, he entered him some other time. If we don't have a pshat, at the end of the day, if we don't have a pshat, so maybe we don't know that there was another answer. So maybe it's because he was maida. But where we know that there's another answer, it's not a kasha, because we could say he answered somewhere else. So says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, halacha Rabbi Eliezer. We pass him like Rabbi Eliezer that you could bake it because of Hayo. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Rabbi Yitzchak says no. Halacha ben Beseira, the halacha is like ben Beseira. Ben Beseira was the third shita. He says don't bake it, don't leave it. Rather, just put it into cold water, And then when you put it into cold water, that will stop it from becoming chametz. So Rabbi Yitzchak says that we pass them like this, like this ben b'seira, that you should put it into cold water. The kama shir isa, how much is the shir of a dough that agav that a person should bake at a time? This way, you won't run into chametz problems. Making too much, that it will end up becoming chametz. Rabbi Shmuel b'nei shel Rabbi Yechem b'breika amar chitim, if it's wheat, kabim, he should make two kab. If it's barley, shleishes kabim, he can make three kab at a time. He says the exact opposite, by wheat three and by barley two. Frayti gemar v'tanya Rabbi Shmuel b'nei shel Rabbi Yechem b'breika amar b'chitim shleishes kabim u'b'sa'irim arba kabim. So the first price says it was two and three. This other bais says it was three and four. By chitin you can make up to three kav, and by sa'arim you can make up to four kav. So the Mara says like Kasha, habe chasichta, habe mayasa. It depends what type of dough it is. The first bais is talking about it was a good dough. The second bais is talking about that it was made from bad quality. It was chasichta, and therefore. Let's say by wheat, three of the bad ones are two of the good ones. So you can make a dough of two good ones or three bad ones because it's the same amount of dough. Amar Papa says, "Rabbi Shmamina, we see from here green chiti chasikta, bad wheat is worse." The difference between good wheat and bad wheat is more between the difference between bad barley and good barley. Why? The Ilhasam Tilsa, by wheat, it lost a third. Meaning three kav of bad wheat is equal to two kav of good wheat. Meaning the bad wheat loses a third. Vahaka, whereas by barley river, it only loses a quarter. Because we said four kav of bad barley is three kav of good barley. So it's only losing a quarter. So we see that the difference between bad barley and good barley is less than the difference between bad wheat and good wheat.
Why does it have to do with the problem you read about it become a chametz?
Right.
So bad.
I think the bad one, because there's impurities of it, if the bad stuff falls out, and by the time at the end of the day, the amount that's going to be made is going to end up being the same. You start out with three kav of wheat. It's going to end up being the same size dough as you start out with two kav of good wheat. Amar Rava. Rava said,
"What's the shir? Is there a shir chala in kavet, or does that not translate?"
The shir of chala, the way we paskin, is a kav and a quarter.
So this is
over the shir chala. We're going to get to our minute soon. And what we do is tackle less than the shir chala, which is going to be the next sheet in the Gemara. We'll see.
And if the whole previous Gemara.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Amar Rav. Rav said, "Kava malugna the pisva." The size that you should make a dough on Pesach is this kav that they had in this place called malugna. The chayin chalan. That's also the shear of chala, one kav. In fact, how could that be? But now, didn't we learn in our Mishnah that the shir of chala is chameshes revoim kemach, five quarters of flour, the oil, and a drop more than that is chay alvim chalas chay mechalas. So revoim are quarters of a kav. So five quarters of a kav mean a kav in simple English, a kav and a quarter is chay mechala. And the oil, it has to be a drop more than a kav and a quarter, but basically a kav and a quarter, a kosher, a mashum more than a kav and a quarter. It's chai v'chal. So how could you say over here that it's a kav? It's not a kav. It has to be a kav and a quarter. So says the Gemara, Haki ka'amar, kav mugoi nami ahai shirakoi. A kav in this place was a larger measurement. This place had larger measurements than the standard kav. So a kav of the malugnoi is equal to a kav and a quarter of a regular kav that we know, that most of Bubble was, and most of Eretz Yisrael was using. Amar Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, Hani Nashi Didan, the minig of our women is nog lemeifa kfiza kfiza lepischa. They only bake a kav at a time. They make a very small dough in order to make sure that there's no problem of becoming chametz. So their minig was only to make a kav at a time, no more than that. Not two kav, not three kav, like all the sheets we had before. One kav. Amalei Abaye, my daitoch, what's pshat in this minig? What are you thinking? L'chomer, because you want to be machmer. The smaller the dough, the less of a chance that it's going to become chametz. Says the Gemara, chomer dalsi le dekulu. But that, it's going to backfire. That's a chomer mitzad echad, but it's a kulu mitzad sheni. To come off the mechala, because now you're pottering it from chala. You're going to be machmer, not to make a large dough. And in order to help that it shouldn't become chametz, but by doing that you're circumventing chala. It's a kula. You're losing out the mitzvah of chala. So Amalei, so he answered him, the avdan k'Rabbi Eliezer, that we do like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanan. Rabbi Eliezer Aymer, haroide v'nois in l'sal, after you take it out of the oven, if you put it into a basket, hasal mitzav and machal, the sal, the basket, could be mitzarif them to a shir chala. Meaning, even if a person baked separate doughs, and it never had a shir of chala to become chayiv beforehand, calls them on that it was a dough, and also not in the oven either, because they were baked in shifts. Nonetheless, if they're all being put into the same basket, at that point in time, the sal is mitzarif them, and at that point in time, because there's a tzir of sal, they become chayiv and chala. So that's what we do over here. We bake matzah, says Rabbi Yosef, a kav at a time. Are you telling me we're circumventing chala? No, we're not circumventing chala, because after it's baked, we put them all into the same basket. The basket will be mitzarif them, and at that point in time, it will become chayiv and chala, and will be mafresh shir chala. This he's talking about when you don't when you're baking before Yom Tov. We're talking about either that is, if technically theoretically it was done b'tahara, then it could have been done even on Yom Tov. If it was done b'tumah, which most of us are tamei. So then, it's talking about either you're baking before Yom Tov, or on Chol HaMoed. There happens to be, some Rishonim say that nowadays you're allowed to be mafresh challah on Yom Tov, and the whole Mishnah is not negeah, because the Mishnah is talking about in Eretz Yisrael where challah is the raisa. So challah the raisa has to be burnt, because it's tamei. Challah's chutz la'aretz, be'etzim, our minig is to burn the challah, but theoretically, since it's only d'rabbanan, Chalas chutz la'aretz is mutter to give to a kayin katan who's less than 9 years old, as long as tumas meis is not a problem by chalas chutz la'aretz. The only tumah that we're concerned about is tumah yetzim igufay. So as long as the katan is less than 9 years old, so there's no chash that he's a bal carrier is of, so then he's allowed to eat chalas chutz la'aretz. And theoretically, according to most rishonim, if a gadol goes to the mikveh, it would be the same thing. He could eat it, because then he has no more shayla of tumah yetzim igufay. So some rishonim say that even though practically we're going to burn it, since it is roy, you can't say that it's challah that you're baking out of yantar something that's not roy. You could always give it to a kohen katan.
Is the original isa the shir of challah the way we do it?
No. We do like Rabbi Yosef. If you go to matzah bakeries, they bake less than a shir of challah at a time. And they do a tzir of sal at the end after the baking, and they're mafresh challah at that point in time.
Why not take from the kemach?
Before it's dough, you can't take. It has to. The water has to be put in.
A lot of our bakeries do that. Okay. I know in Los Angeles they seem to take from the kemach.
Even before they put in water?
I think so. It's very to make sure that it's done.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think that I know that they do that as a backup. But al chatchila for sure, it's supposed to be. I think there is such a thing as taking doing the hafrasha like al shema osid, like when this should be challah for when it becomes dough. But I think they do it just as a backup to be yoseh that according to that shita that it could be done, like a, it's totally in davar shle b'loilam. But the ikur chala has to be once already, once the water is already put in, right? So we do this in matzah bakeries. That's most matzah bakeries that they do is they take it off at the end, and even regular bakeries they do this tzir sal a lot of times because certain types of batters are not chayiv until it's baked. Let's say sheet cake. It's a liquidy batter, so it's bli lase raka. So in kol zman that it's dough, it's batter, you can't be mafashchala. You can only be mafashchala once it's baked. At that point in time, each sheet cake by itself is not a shir chala. But they make a tzir sal that all of them are on the same cart, and then they take off from the whole thing.
Take off
sheet cake is chayav only in a bakery, because in a private person never bakes enough cake. Based on the consistency of a batter, for a person to bake enough cookies or cake to have a shir challah is very not practical. But a bakery, all the time, a cart of sheet cake could very easily have a shir challah.
How can they make challah?
Because that's what we had before. Nachdem is because of Shama Yimlach. If he doesn't sell it out, I'll take it home. So the takana of Chazal was the takana of Chazal was that a nachdim because of Shema Yimlach has a chiyuv chal. So chiyuv chal means make a bracha. So nowadays no nachdim takes it home, but that was the halacha that a nachdim is chayav chal. It's a chiyuv midarabanan, yes. Right. So again. So he said that we do like Rabbi Yezer. The Amr Abuda, Amr Shmuel, like because Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, like Rabbi Yehuda, that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that Salam Tzarfon. So therefore, we're machmer bedavka to bake less than bake only a kav at a time, in order that it shouldn't become chametz, and it's not a chometz also the dekula because then a chanami. We're not losing out on challah. You could do the challah later on. You could do the challah with a tzir of sal. Amalei, so he asked him, "Va'itva'ala, didn't we say on that Amr Yishuv and Levi?" That which we say that it's sal mitzarfim, it's not sufficient just the sal is mitzarfim, but you have to have an additional tanai, like the kikaris, the way they used to make in bubble, that they, like, a lot of times, like the small rolls that you get from the bakery, that they're like biting each other, they're attached to each other, that you pull one, it rips a little bit of a piece off of the other one. But if they're separate loaves, separate nice loaves, and they're not connected to each other whatsoever, loy, then we don't hold the tziruf. So yeah, on that he answered him. We said on that, meaning it's a machloikis. You're right. Rabbi Shuv and Levi said that, but Rabbi Chanina disagreed. Rabbi Chanina said that no, we hold like Rabbi Yezer across the board, even by kechem, even by separate loaves that are not biting each other, and that's taka alocha lemaisa. And therefore, that's what we're saying, Mechan, and we'd rather do that than bake a larger amount and run into problems of becoming chametz. Rabbi Yirmiyah had a shayla. Tavla she'en lo levazazin. Let's say you have a flat tray, it doesn't have any rim, any lip going around the sides of it. And you put all the matzah on that tray. So is that a tziruf sal or not? Mao. What's the halacha? Do we say terklibin? And in order to have a tziruf sal, it has to be inside the same keli. So a keli that doesn't have an inside, like a flat tray, is not going to work. So that's not going to work for tziruf. Dilma avir kli bein, and as long as it's in the airspace of the keli, it's on top of the keli. So then, bein, that's what you need vahiika. So then over here, you have that, and the flat tray would be good enough to make it tziruf. And that the Gemara says teku. I said now
putting a towel over it.
All right. So nowadays we do use that's just a chumrah because we use a keli that has avir. But on top of that, we want it to be covered in gansen, so we're machmer to cover it over with a towel, with something, or in the case we want to be mitzav a few different kalim, if you have a few different bowls, so we do that. If you cover it over by the same blanket, the same towel, so that's kilu, it's all wrapped in the same bag, the same keli, so to say, and that makes it tziruf. But a lot of people do that in their own houses when they want to be mitzav things. In the matzah bakeries, the maizah, they have a huge, huge tub where they put the baked matzah into, so it shouldn't have any problems. Everything's teichakli, and And they use that to make a tziruf, and then they take off the challah afterwards. Tanya, Rabbi Yezer Aimer, Hasal Mitzarafon. Rabbi Yezer, that's his Lashitasa, he says that a sal is Mitzaraf for challah. Rabbi Shua Aimer, Hataner Mitzarafon. The oven could be Mitzaraf. Meaning Rabbi Shua is one step more than Rabbi Yezer. The sal, the basket, after it's finished being baked, cannot be Mitzaraf them. But kolzman, it's in the oven while it's being baked. So if you have a large enough oven that a shir of challah is in the oven at the same time, so even though they were kneaded from separate doughs, the oven could be mitzaref them for challah. Rav Shimon Gamliel, says a third shita. He says kikaros above neishchazu mizu mitzarefes. Only if they're actually neishach each other, if they're actually connected to each other, so then they're mitzaref. But if they're not connected to each other, they're separate loaves, even though they're together in the sal, or even if more than that, even if they're together in the oven, that alone is not going to be a tziruf. And if they came from separate doughs, so b'shas that they were dough, they never had a tziruf, then they would be putter from shir challah. And like we said before, we pass on like Rav Yezer, any tziruf works. So even so, for sure, if they're mitzaref in the oven, but even if they're mitzaref afterwards, in the same keli, that would be considered a tziruf sal, and it would have a shir challah. Parenthetically, just food for thought, the shmuz and the paiskim, if that's the case, so if you bake different batches at different times and they all end up in the same freezer, maybe the freezer should be make it a tzir of sal and be mechayv to give challah. Myself, but we don't do that. That's not a main. The question is, why not? Why is the freezer different than a tzir of sal?
It's not so common that you did challah multiple times.
Yeah, and most people bake when they run out. But let's say a person's one batch is less than a shir challah, but he has more than enough for one Shabbos, and then every few weeks he uses the leftovers to make.
Yeah.
Because it's wrapped separately.
Yeah.
So some say that. The Master Leo has a tshuva about it. A bunch of people have tshuvas about this. One of the reasons they give is because each one's wrapped separately. So that's undoing the tziruf of the. But that's one of the svaras that the paiskim say. Others say that a freezer is not considered a keli either because of its size or because it's plugged into the wall. There's different svaras that are given. Yeah, and that's one of the svaras that they say. Okay, says the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel Aimer, continuing in this thought that we want to be careful with how to bake dough in order that it shouldn't become chametz. So Rav Gamliel says, Shalosh Noshim Loshes Ke'achas, you could have up to three women kneading dough at the same time, Vavivis B'tanar Echad, using the same oven. Zuach Razu, meaning even though two of them are going to have to wait while one of them is baking, nonetheless, that's not a problem. Up to three people could use the same oven at the same time. And it's not a chash that maybe in the meantime the other two doughs are going to become chametz. For chum, the chum say, shalosh nashim oiskis b'batzak echad, k'achas, you should have three women working on dough at the same time, but they're staggered. Achas losha, one's kneading, achas ereches, one's shaping, v'achas eif, and one's baking. Meaning you could have three people working at the same time, but you should make sure that each one of them is holding by a different stage. This way, no one will ever have to wait for the other one. Rabbi Kiva, says, loikol anoshim, v'loikol ha'etzim, v'loikol ha'tenurim shavim. Not all women are the same. Some work faster, some work slower. Loikol ha'etzim, not all wood is the same. Dry wood, like we had earlier, is going to bake much better, so it's going to bake faster. If the wood is damp, the fire is not going to be as hot, so it's going to bake slower. For loikol ha'tenurim, the same thing with the ovens. An oven that was constantly heated is going to get much hotter than an oven that's used only seldomly. An oven made out of metal is going to be hotter than an oven made out of cheres. So you can't just set rules 3 days at a time, staggered. It all depends on the situation. Depends on which ladies, depends on which wood, depends on which oven. Zaklau, this is the rule. Tafach, if you see that it's starting to swell, which is the first simen that something's happening, it's beginning to rise and it's starting the chimutz process, tilted b'tzenin. So right away, pat it down with cold water, and the cold water will stop it from progressing and from becoming chametz. Tana Rabbanan. So the Braisa is going to explain this middle sheet of the sheet of the Chacham that we stagger the three ladies out. It just explains the whole process. Loshahi, when woman one finishes finishes kneading, so mikatefes, so she goes to stage two, she starts shaping. The chaverta and her friend, woman two, losha, she begins the kneading, taktea, instead. Mikatefes, so once she finished, woman one, she finishes shaping, so he ifa, so now she goes to stage three, she goes to the baking. The chaverta and woman two, mikatefes, now is holding by the shaping, taktea, instead of her. The ashlishes, and now woman three begins, losha, and she starts kneading. Oifa, then when thing one finishes baking, so he lost, so now she goes back to stage one, she goes back to kneading her next dough. The chaverta oifa, and thing two is baking, tachtel, the shlishes, and thing three, mikatefes, she goes to the next day, she goes to the shaping. The chaser is chalila, and they constantly cycle like that, this way, no one's holding at the same place at the same time, no one's going to ever have to wait for each other, and there won't be a chashash that the dough is going to sit there and become chametz. Kozman sha'iskim is a b'batzik, and that's the rule, as long as you're working the dough, then there's no problem, it's not going to become chametz. The only problem it's going to become chametz is if you stop working it, you let it sit. Rabbi Kiva and Melekol Anashim, then Rabbi Kiva said, how can you set rules? Not all women are the same, not all ovens are the same, not all wood is the same. So Rabbi again explains further. Tanya Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, "Down to Lifnei Chacham, Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. I was down in front of Rabbi Gamliel. Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us our Rabbi. Benoshim's reasons, like Benoshim Shein's reasons. Our rules that we said three at a time. What was that talking about? Was that talking about women who are quick or women that are not quick? Be'etzim Lachim, was that said when the wood is moist? Be'etzim Yavishim, or when it's dried out? Be'tanu Chacham, was it an oven that's hot? Be'tanu Tzayin, or an oven that doesn't get so hot?" Meaning, how you give straight flat rules straight across the board? What are you talking about? What's the scenario? So Amalei, and then he agreed vice versa, and he told me, "Ein lechal amashashanu chacham." The ikur is that which the chacham say, "Zaklal tafach." If it starts swelling, tiltish betzayin, and then pat it down with cold water.
It wasn't
master. Right, no, but Amalei sounds like Rabbi Gamliel himself. He said this to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the first shita. Rabbi Kiva asked Rabbi Gamliel, and then Amar Li, Rabbi Gamliel said back, "Ein lechos." It sounds like
that's the machlokes in the Mishnah.
Yeah. That's the machlokes in the Mishnah. But it sounds like from the Brisa, you think that Rabbi Kiva is a third cheetah. From the Brisa, it sounds like Rabbi Kiva is saying that even Rabbi Gamliel was masking to him. Rabbi Gamliel, who was the first cheetah.
No, but he said that exactly.
Right.
Ein lechal amashish anachavon.
Right.
That's maintaining his view.
Okay, he's maintaining his view.
It applies across the board.
Right, okay, I hear.
No, I mean, that's why, Zach thought that was meaning, if you see...
I mean, you do this process, but once that's the process, that means there's really no rules on how... Okay, that's the way Rabbi Kiva was saying it in the Mishnah.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Then Rabbi Kiva was saying...
That there's no rules, just bake and use... Okay, maybe he agreed to him that that's the antidote at least. Yeah. Okay. Next, Mishnah. So this we already discussed. Dough, kolzman, it's raw. It's not chametz. Once it starts becoming chametz, it hits a stage that we call seir, which we're going to have a machlokes soon. What that stage is. So at that stage, it is already chametz. However, it's not edible chametz. It's chametz nuksha, which is more kuladik, like we had earlier. Then it hits the next stage, it becomes real chametz that would already be chayav karis. So says the Mishnah, Seir Yisarv, when the dough hits the stage of Seir, which we'll explain soon what that stage is, so then it has to be burnt because it's already chametz. However, the ha'oichoy potter, if someone were to eat the dough at that stage, it would be potter because it's chametz nuksha. Siduk, once it gets to the next stage, then it's siduk from the lashon of cracking. Then Yisarif, then it has to be burnt. V'ayich chayav karis. And at that point in time, if someone eats it, he's chayav karis, because then it's already considered chametz gomer. Ezeu seir, what stage is considered seir that we said is only chametz nuksha and not chametz gomer? Kikar nechagavim. When it has two cracks in the dough, two long cracks going through it, so it looks like the antennae on top of the head of a chug of a grasshopper. Siduk, what's the next stage, which we call siduk, which we say is already considered a chametz gomer? Shenis arv stokim zebezeh, that has a lot of cracks, so that until the cracks are already crisscrossing, that looks like they're all intermingling, intertangling with each other. Direi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chum say, and we're going to see in the Bryce and the Gemara, that this Chacham is Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Plukta, Zebezeh, both of these, Karne Chagovim, and Nisarvu Astakim Zebezeh, Hayel Chayav Karas, both of them, if someone were to eat them, is Chayav Karas, meaning because both of them are considered Chum as Gomer. Is there a Seir, so what then is Seir that we say is only Chum as Nuk? Shal Kal Shechziv Upanov. It started turning pale, Ka'alim Sha'am Du Sarai, so like when a person gets shocked or embarrassed, that he turns pale and his hair stands up. So such a person, so such a stage, that's when the dough is chametz noksha. But once the dough starts cracking, so then it's already chametz gomer and it's already chayav karis. Tana Rabbanan, ezeu seyer, what's considered seyer? Kol shechziv upanov, anything that turned pale, ka'adam sha'anu sarayisav, like a person who got shocked or got embarrassed. Siduk, what's considered siduk? Once it has two cracks in it, that it looks like the antennae of the grasshoppers. This is the sheet of Rameir, the Rameir of the Braisa, who's the Chacham of our Mishnah. The Chacham of the Braisa, who's Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, they say, what's considered seyer? Once it has two cracks. Siduk, what's considered siduk? That's Chametz Gomer. And as I was talking about Bezeh, that it has multiple cracks that they're already intermingling and intertangling. Both of them, so as of now the Gemara assumes that it means both Seir and Siduk, if one were to eat them, are Chayav Karis. In fact, the Gemara, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Seir Yisarv V'Oichle Potter, that when it's the stage of Seir, you have to burn it, but if one eats it, he's Potter from Karis because it's only Chametz Noksha, the Rebbe Yehuda. So how could the Braisa say, Zevizah Oichle Chayav Karis? So says the Gemara, what the Braisa Seifa of the Braisa means when it says Zevizayich L'chayav Karis, that wasn't Rabbi Yehuda talking, rather it was Rameir. Aim of the Rameir Zevizayich L'chayav Karis. Both Rabbi Yehuda's Seir and Rabbi Yehuda's Siduk, according to Rameir, both of them are called Siduk. Because he holds that even once it has two cracks, it's already called Siduk. Therefore, that which Rabbi Yehuda says, Seir Yisarf, but no Malkus, no Karis, Rameir will say that I say that that same stage is Chayav Karis, because for me it's already considered Chametz Gomer. So basically, Rameir of the Braisa is the Chum of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah is the Chum of the Braisa. They just switched who's the Stam Shita and who's the Shita that was mentioned by name. Amar Rava, says Rava, my time to Rameir, what's Pshat and Rameir, that Karnech HaGavim is already considered Chametz Gomer? If on the surface, on the outside, on the top, you have a crack, that means internally there's many cracks. So if there's two cracks on the top, that means it already has a lot of cracks in it, at least internally, and therefore it's already chametz gomer. So that's why Rav Meir says once you see two cracks, it's already chametz gomer. And rather, the shear of chametz noksha that we know as seir, according to the mayor, is only once it turns pale, but there's no cracks on the surface at all. Okay.